دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
سلامی دوباره دارم خدمت دوستانی که در این بخش از برنامه به ما ملحق شدند. مهمان عزیز برنامه امروز کانسل ممبر پال کورتز از دیستریکت 5 هستند. Councilman Koretz, I want to ask you about homelessness problem in District 5. And what is the city doing regarding this problem?
Well, we're doing a lot, but it's been a thorny problem. One of the things we're doing is we're providing both temporary and more permanent supportive housing. With the temporary housing, which we call Bridge to Home, we're trying to put at least 100 units in each council district of temporary housing. And what it looks like in most districts is a very large tent structure, which you might see for things like the Academy Awards, where they'll take an empty lot, but they'll create this structure, and in this case, they'll put 50 or 100 beds in it and put services to help as well. It's been difficult in my district because we have almost no empty spaces of the right size. And so we've had to look at leasing motels or leasing schools that are no longer in use. We've found those properties, but before we've been able to lease them, in each case, a developer swooped in and bought the property. So we really haven't as yet been able to do the bridge housing. People were worried that the community would rise up and object strenuously, as they have in some other districts. We've gotten very little pushback in my district. It's just been very difficult to find the locations. In terms of the more permanent housing, which is funded largely by a measure called HHH that the public passed a couple of years ago. It's been difficult as well for us to find locations. We now have a couple. One is largely through the approval process and presumably will break ground relatively soon. We have another one that is facing a lawsuit from the community, which that might slow down. One is on La Brea near Melrose, and the other one is on Santa Monica Boulevard close to Sepulveda. So when those two are built, we'll have over 100 units of permanent housing for the homeless here in Council District 5. One of the problems, though, is as we find places to take the homeless off the street and add them to some city facilities as well, we're finding more newly homeless people, so it's actually outpacing what we're doing. So one of the programs that I sponsored is called Right to Counsel, which some unscrupulous landlords are finding excuses that aren't legally valid to force their tenants out so they can raise their rents. So we're trying, rather than letting them wind up on the street and then paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to house them, we're trying to legally protect them from unjustified evictions, and we're looking at whether in temporary cases where someone might lose their job due to a layoff and they might be unemployed for a couple months, where we might be able to provide a small amount of money and fill that gap and keep them in their homes. So those are some of the things we're doing to deal with the homeless. We're also having our sanitation department do more aggressive cleanups so that some of the encampments that have looked pretty trashy in the past and have attracted vermin and rodents and whatever, so we can frequently clean those up so they're much less of a health hazard.
I've heard that in the city of Beverly Hills, the police is actually allowed to approach the homeless people and ask them to move and, tell them to go out of the city of Beverly Hills. I don't know if that's true. Maybe you can tell me if that's correct and if there's such a thing in your district or other places too.
I think it may be possible, and some of the smaller cities are kind of able to get away with that to the extent that they do it. And I'm not accusing Beverly Hills or any particular cities of doing it, but I'm also not saying they don't. I don't really have firsthand knowledge. Mm-hmm. But we can't do that in the city of Los Angeles. We're we're too big and too high profile. And so when we've done almost anything to deal with the homeless on the street, enforcement of laws even, we've been sued and we've often lost. So we're very constrained in terms of what we can do with the homeless. I mean, really the logical way to deal with it anyway, but it's such a large problem that it will take years, is to actually solve the problem rather than to move them around when people complain about them. I have to admit I've been a little more aggressive than other council members where an encampment has gotten out of hand and where it's actually become dangerous. I have worked with LAPD and pushed to shut them down. Mm-hmm. Where an encampment has actually turned violent and people have been attacked in the neighborhood. It's only happened a couple of times, but I've had to push really hard and to have a more public safety focused response in those cases.
Talking about that, I remember there was a program that we had for a different district, and the lady was really concerned because there was a homeless living right across from her and on her way to the store that she used to shop. And she was concerned about her safety as well as sanitation of the area and stuff. And she wanted to know if there is a problem like that, how they can get help. So in your district, if somebody has such concern about somebody who is constantly living in a corner of a street and probably causing some uncomfort for the people, is there something you can do? And if there is, how can they reach out to you?
Well, I know there are phone lines to actually call if you're concerned about a particular homeless area or encampment. But honestly, the easiest thing to do is just to call my council office and let us either take care of the issue or direct them to the right place to contact.
I have one more question about homelessness. A lot of these people, unfortunately, come to this kind of life because of their mental problems. Do you have any plans to create or build any rehabs for people who need help with these issues?
Well, I think it depends on which location it is, but some of our HHH housing have mental health components and substance abuse components. So depending on what the population is that they're serving, they can help focus on that. And also the county has an initiative as well, Measure H, which provides wraparound services to help people. So we do that, but not as aggressively as society should be. Mm-hmm. California used to handle mental health better, but not great. During Governor Reagan's time, he basically disbanded our mental health services. And the criticism was that we were warehousing the mentally ill. We were putting them in large facilities. They had no way to get themselves out, even if they were treating themselves successfully. And so he said, let's shut down these facilities and let's create local programs. But then the effect of local programs never happened. So we've had mentally ill homeless on the street for decades and decades since. At some point, I think the state of California needs to accept that responsibility again and create mental health programming and housing for the mentally ill. I think that's really the only way we can solve that on a broader level.
Thank you. دوستان عزیز راجع به مشکل هوملسنس صحبت کردیم در دیستریکت 5 و کانسل ممبر پال کورت راجع به فعالیت‌هاشون راجع به برنامه‌هایی که دارن که خانه‌سازی بکنن و بتونن یه مسکنی به این افراد بدن صحبت کردن. در ضمن تلفن‌های تماسی هست که اگر شما مشکلی دارین در این زمینه میتونید باشون تماس بگیرین. ایشون همچنان اشاره کردن به اینکه افسایش دادن، تمیز کردن و پاکیزه نگه داشتن شهر رو کسایی که در این مناطق کار میکنن بیشتر توجه داشته باشن و بیشتر بتونن مناطق زندگی رو تمیز کنن. به هر حال اگر شما مشکلی دارین که فکر میکنین که کانسل ممبر پول کورتس در دیستریکت 5 بتونن به شما کمک رسان باشن، میتونین با تلفن سیتی هال تماس بگیرین. شماره رو اعلام میکنم: 213-473-7005. تکرار میکنم، تلفن تماس با سیتی هال آفیس هست 213-473-7005. در اونجا افرادی هستند که میتونن با شما صحبت کنن به زبان فارسی و کمک رسان شما باشن. Would you please announce the phone number to the district office?
The number is 323-866-1828. We have Farsi speaking staff in that office that can help, particularly Jasmine Shamolian, who is my Westwood representative and my Persian representative.
Thank you so much. Council member Paul Koretz, would you please talk about your activities about environmental protection?
Well, I've been involved in a number of environmental issues in my time as council member. I served for several years on the Metropolitan Water District Board, and one of the things I was able to accomplish was to convince them to do more conservation funding. And so while I was there, they allocated $350 million, which was an almost shocking amount of money, to remove lawns and replace them with either just a dirt lawn or drought-tolerant plantings. And so a very substantial amount of water was saved and is saved on an ongoing basis by doing that. I've been very involved in climate change issues and proposing various things that will reduce the amount of greenhouse gas production. One of the things that creates the most methane gas, which is the most potent short-term greenhouse gas, is by recycling food waste. If you put it in a landfill, it creates a lot of methane. But we now have alternative programs that are about to start where we do composting, which will reduce methane substantially. And we also have a facility called an anaerobic digester, which will actually completely eliminate the methane and turn the product into natural gas. So it actually powers the trucks that pick up the food waste at the same time. I've also been very involved in climate change directly, and I've had the city of Los Angeles create the first climate emergency mobilization department. And we're going to be holding hearings throughout the city, asking for ideas and creating a commission. And ultimately, we hope to do things that push the envelope that aren't being done in other places so that Los Angeles can be not only a leader locally, but some of the things that we do can be replicated throughout the country and throughout the world because we're not getting a lot of help from our federal leadership in terms of climate change. So we really have to make Los Angeles's visibility help us work around that and be an example to the rest of the world.
That's great. Thank you so much. I also heard that you had fought for LGBTQ equality. Would you like to share some of your experiences in that area?
Well, probably most of the work I did in dealing with LGBTQ issues was during my time as a West Hollywood council member and in the state legislature. Serving areas including West Hollywood, because West Hollywood was probably the hardest hit per capita by the AIDS crisis of any city in the country. At one point, and it may even still be the case, one out of every 10 housing units in West Hollywood had at least one person who was HIV positive or had full-blown AIDS. And so I helped write, when the city was created, I helped write the first anti-discrimination ordinance, which was unusual. I mean, West Hollywood was unusual in that it was the first majority gay and lesbian city council ever in an American city.
Okay.
We had the first open lesbian mayor of an American city in a woman named Valerie Torino, who was the city's first mayor. I did a lot of work on anti-discrimination issues. I did a lot of work to fight AIDS. I did a lot of work on medical marijuana because for a long time that was really the only thing that could be used to fight AIDS and some of the symptoms. So those were a lot of the areas that I worked in. Probably the most significant thing I've done on the LA City Council is I've led the effort to boycott the Beverly Hills Hotel and the Bel Air Hotel because of their ownership by the Sultan of Brunei,
mm-hmm.
who has written laws that would allow people to be executed for being gay in his kingdom. And so I've been leading that effort so that we can push back, and if he feels the economic impact, that he will have to ease up on his terrible laws that have been passed. And as far as I can tell, partly as a result of what we've done, the laws are still on the books, but they're not implementing them.
But that's great, as long as it's not implemented.
Which is terrific.
I mean,
we don't want to see people being beheaded because of their choice of who they love.
Exactly. That's a great achievement. Thank you so much. Also, I know that you authored several laws to protect animals from cruel practices. I would like to learn more about that as well.
Well, some of the things I've done, one of the cruel practices in society is decline cats.
Mm-hmm.
And people think of it as being like clipping their nails, but it's more like cutting off half of their finger. They're often in pain and somewhat crippled the rest of their lives, and sometimes they will push back by not using their litter box, and ultimately they wind up in the shelter system and may be euthanized for it. So it's an unnecessary practice. In a lot of cases, it's not because the cat is doing anything harmful. They're declawed at the same time that they're spayed and neutered. So the veterinarian will say, well, they're going to be out anyway. Why don't you declaw them? We made declawing illegal in the city of Los Angeles. When I was in the state legislature, I made declawing of big cats like lions and tigers illegal as well. And that's with the larger cats is even more crippling. So that's something I've done. We've banned commercially bred animals from being sold in pet shops. So rather than adding to the pet overpopulation, now you can sell animals, but they have to come from places like LA City and County animal shelters. So if you buy an animal in a pet shop, they'll be part of the solution to the overpopulation problem rather than the problem. And also, I spent a lot of time helping our wildlife as well. Most people don't realize, or some don't, that we have deer in the hills. We have mountain lions, and we're, I believe, the only city in the world, the only urban city with mountain lions. We have coyotes, we have bobcats, and rather than allowing them to all become extinct because development will block their paths, we're creating a wildlife corridor program so they can continue to connect and find mates, and hopefully, particularly our rare LA mountain lion, of which we probably have fewer than 100, we can keep them from becoming inbred and from becoming extinct.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I didn't quite understand. Why do they cut off a cat's finger? What was the reason to do that?
Well, the arguments are if people have low immunity, like people with AIDS, that it can endanger them if they get scratched. And actually, the council member in West Hollywood who authored a ban on cat declawing, is himself HIV positive and had a very serious case of AIDS. And that sort of debunks the idea that cats are a real health threat, and also that they could scratch up furniture. But are cats' lives and cruel practices to them worth protecting furniture? There are other ways to do it. There are what I used to use with a cat that liked to scratch is soft paws. You can put them over their claws,
mm-hmm.
And then they can't scratch anything. I think it really is a phony argument. I think most of the declawing that's done was never necessary in the first place, but it causes a lot of pain and harm.
I agree. And also, you mentioned pet shops. So I've noticed that all the pet shops in the malls and stuff are closed now. So that was because of your activity and the law that you passed.
I think some of them closed because of that. Some have stayed open. Because they have the ability to show cats that have been rescued and to get those adopted. So the ones that are still open are actually helping solve the problem,
mm-hmm.
In a way that they used to cause it.
Thank you so much. شنوندگان عزیز، راجع به قوانینی که کانسل ممبر پال کورتس پاس کردن که اذیت و آزار به حیوانات کمتر بشه صحبت کردن، از جمله این که گربه ها رو انگشتای دست و پاشون رو قطع میکردن مثل ناخون گرفتن، ولی کمی بیشتر بوده و با این امرشون مخالفت کردن. دلیلش فقط این بوده که فرنیچرشون، اسباب خونه اسکرچ نشه، یا کسایی که ناراحتی بیماریایی دارن یه وقت اسکرچ نگیرن، خراش بر ندارن به خاطر گربه هاشون. موضوع دیگری که شون صحبت کردن، جاهایی بود در مال ها می دیدیم که حیوانات رو می فروختن و این متاسفانه به جمعیت حیوانات اضافه می شد و با مشکلی که الان ما روبرو هستیم که جمعیت داره افزایش پیدا می کنه و گاهی اوقات این حیوانات باید برن به شلترها پناه ببرن و گاهی نمیتونن حتی اونجا نگهداری بشن و به خواب ابدی سپرده میشن، در واقع جلوش گرفته میشه. I really appreciate all the work and the effort. Time flies and we're coming to the end of this show. I wanted to thank you one more time for coming to the studio today. I really appreciate it. I'm sure you have a very busy schedule, but taking time off your busy schedule and coming to inform our audience is really appreciated.
Well, thank you. It's my honor and pleasure.
Thank you. دوستان عزیز، تا برنامه دیگری از Our World, Our Community، شما رو به خدای بزرگ میسپارم. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار. دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our World, Our Community with Debbie Amini.